with us. Brother Vernon has been on my case for about a year. Usually every time before I preach, he'll walk up to me and say, "All right, what food illustration do you have tonight?" And so it kind of got to me. The last three sermons I preached, you can verify this, I went back and I made sure I purposely did not mention anything about food in the last three sermons. And it hurt me. It made me upset. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to make sure I got all those food illustrations in tonight. They're in there. And I hope that this message will be a blessing. 1 Kings chapter 19 in the Word of God. We find ourselves tonight with one of the great prophets of the Bible, the prophet Elijah. In the previous chapter, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see one of the most powerful and famous accounts in Scripture. What a moment in the Word of God when Elijah and the prophets of Baal are there on top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah calls down the fire from heaven upon the sacrifice and then slays the prophets of Baal. This is one of the accounts in Scripture that I hope that when we get to heaven, they'll let us push the replay button and we could see this account in Scripture. I hope we can see one day what that looked like. We could say that this was probably the high watermark in the ministry of Elijah. This was quite a moment in his ministry and how God used him in 1 Kings 18 in a powerful way. And my, how God used him on that day. However, in just a single day, in just one day, Elijah goes from the mountaintop to the valley in just a single day. And so this is the context of where we find ourselves in 1 Kings 19 tonight. And I want to say that this message was for me. This is what God's been speaking to me about. And I hope that you'll read along with me in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." What did he just do? We just explained that. And withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." They're going to kill Elijah. They're going to do away with him. They want him gone. Verse 3, "And when he saw that, he rose and went for his life." He went for his life. "And came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.' And he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there an angel touched him, and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" If you're in the habit of underlining or marking portions of Scripture in your Bible, I'd like to encourage you to mark the last phrase of verse number 7. It is our topic, it is our theme, our title, and our text tonight. The journey is too great for thee. The journey is too great for thee. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you know some of the technical difficulties we've had with the weather outside here the last few moments, and I pray that you would help the rest of the stream to go through smoothly. That's our prayer. Lord, would you please bless your word? Lord, help me to say nothing that you would want me not to say, and help me to say everything that you would want me to say. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it's quick and it's powerful. Thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the times that it pierces and the times that it encourages. I pray, God, that you would help us to have this time and help us to be different after we've done hearing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. When it comes to vehicles and how we treat our vehicles, there are really two types of people. There is the one person, when they see that gas level getting to about quarter tank, they start panicking, they start getting nervous, and they quickly get in their car, they run to the gas station because that gas level's getting low. It's at a quarter tank. They got to fill up. And then there's the other person, and this person's kind of like me. They see the orange light go on, and they realize that they've got about 30 miles to find another place to get fuel and to fill up with gas. And they have no concern. They have no worry. They're starting to think about, maybe I should look around for some fuel to get put in my car. But they know, I've got 30 miles. I call that live by faith. Other people think that's probably pretty stupid. You shouldn't do that. And more times than I'm willing to admit, I've ran out of gas several times, and to my shame. But there's two types of people. My grandfather was much like the first person. When that gas level would get down to about quarter tank, he would walk out to his car and go down and get gas and fill it all the way up just to be safe. But tonight in 1 Kings 19, we find a prophet of God in a place some of us find ourselves in tonight. And he's empty. He's empty. Just like my car in years past ran on empty, Elijah was empty and found that the journey was too great for him. And tonight, the journey is too great for us. You see, this life is a journey, and it was never intended to be lived without Jesus. Elijah became self-dependent. He became self-absorbed. He became self-centered. He became self-focused. That's a hard place to live. The prophet of God, who had just the day before called down the fire from heaven, is now questioning. He's empty. Just 24 hours later, he's discouraged. And he finds himself sitting in the wilderness under a juniper tree, asking God to take away his life. And can I ask you, wherever you are watching or listening from tonight, are you right now where Elijah was? Are you empty? Has the journey become too great for you? And so tonight we look to the Word of God, and we look at the life of Elijah, at some principles that God taught him during this wilderness moment in his life. And I'm glad to report to you tonight that the journey that is too great for us is not too great for our God, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And God is greater than the greatness of the journey. Oh, the journey might be great, but there is one that is greater. And so tonight, number one, I want us to see God always knows your limits. Number one, God always knows your limits. We see this in verse number 4. Would you look there with me? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough." He said, "Lord, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my fathers." Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." We find Elijah literally running for his life. Jezebel wants him dead. He wants him gone. Elijah outran 18 of Ahab's chariots. Can you imagine how fast that guy must have been? He must have got his training from me. He must have got his training from me. This guy was fast. He outran 18 of Ahab's chariots. In verse 3, the Bible says he left his servant there. Do you see that at the end of verse 3? Elijah was alone. He left his servant. And then in verse 4, he says, "God, I want to die." He says, "Lord, I've had enough. Enough, Lord. I've had enough." Maybe today we would say, "I'm done. I'm done." How many of you have maybe said that this year? "I'm done with all this." And we expect this kind of talk from the prophet, maybe Jonah, wouldn't we? Jonah ran from God. He denied what God had told him to do. We would maybe expect this kind of talk from this prophet of Jonah, wouldn't we? Certainly not from Elijah, who the day before had called down the fire from heaven, had done such a wonderful work. Certainly not Elijah. "It's enough. I want to die." Elijah would be one of the individuals that would be on the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. It just goes to show us tonight that even some of the greatest men of God that he used in Scripture go through the same things, just like me and you struggle with, the same things, the same battles. After God used Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, sometimes we would think, "Oh, after the victory, we'll have it easy for a little while." But that's not really the case. Because how quickly this can change. Because in the Christian life, after the greatest victories, sometimes come the greatest battles. You have a great victory, but then we have a great battle. And how quickly Elijah had forgotten how good the Lord was to him on Mount Carmel. And though he had God's power on him just days before, now he was discouraged. And as far as he was concerned, God should just take him to heaven on that spot. Does it sound like you maybe today? Can I remind you tonight that God knows your limits? And in case you have forgotten, he won't give us more than what we can handle. You remember Job in Scripture? Remember Job? Job lost every single thing he had. He lost his health. He lost his home. He lost his possessions. He lost all of his cattle. He lost his children. And yet he said in Job chapter 1 in verse 21, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. But blessed be the name of the Lord." And child of God, the Lord knows your limits tonight. You see, every journey has detours. Every journey has detours and has obstacles. Sometimes we don't know where the detour will lead us. But the good news is that God knows where the detour will lead us. If you have young children, we have a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And you know the dread of having to get into a car and prepare for a 7, 8, 10-hour trip. You know the dread. And you know as a parent, about 30 minutes in, you're going to get the question. Some of you have just said the question. I'll get it about 30 minutes in. I'll hear a little girl in the back, "Daddy, Mommy, are we almost there? Are we almost there?" I'll say, "No, honey, we're not." About 30 more minutes will go by. They'll say, "Daddy, Mommy, are we almost there?" And even though I know we're a far ways away, I know how long it'll take to get there. I'm telling you, folks, I'm thankful that God knows our journey, and he knows our limitations. This is a verse probably that has been near and dear to my heart, probably a theme for me for 2020. Psalm 61:2, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And transparently, folks, there's been more moments than I wish to admit that I've said, "Lord," I've shook my head. I've said, "Lord, I'm done with all this. I want to get back to what we used to do, what we used to know." And I believe we'll get there. But God has reminded me time after time, said, "Tom, I know your limits. And maybe you're overwhelmed tonight. Or maybe you're overwhelmed at all that's going on, all that's happening. Or maybe it's a personal valley that you're facing. And can I remind you tonight that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our firm foundation. He is the rock that is higher than us." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." He started it. He's going to finish that good work. And maybe, child of God, tonight you're running on empty. Maybe you're like Elijah and you're saying, "Lord, I'm done." Maybe you're like Elijah saying, "Lord, it is enough." And can I remind you tonight, the Lord knows your limits. He knows how much you can bear and how much you can handle. He will not put on more than you can handle. I like the old hymn that says, "Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest." Yes, it's day by day. God knows our limits. Number two tonight, I'd like you to see God always provides. Number two, God always provides. Would you look with me at verse number 5 and verse 6? Look there with me, please. Verse 5, he says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him." God sent a messenger. He sent an angel. He touched him and said, "Elijah, arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. So Elijah's running. And we continue our journey with Elijah. He's running from the terror of Ahab and Jezebel. And he has now gone a day's journey into the wilderness. Can you imagine traveling for an entire day by foot? Just running and running and walking and walking. And in the middle of this wilderness, he sees a juniper tree. I want you to see three things that God provided for Elijah in this wilderness. I put them there on the screen for you. Number one, I want you to see this juniper tree. What is a juniper tree doing in the middle of this wilderness? In the middle of nowhere in this wilderness? I'll kind of tell you, remind you, God put it there. God put it there as a place of rest for this weary traveler. Elijah was weary, he was discouraged, but God gave that man a place of rest, a place of shelter, a place to lay his head, and God provided that for his child. Next, he puts a cake bacon on the coals. Those of you that are cooks, those of you that are chefs, you know that this was fresh bread. It was baked on the coals. Aren't you glad when God makes us something, he makes it fresh for us? He is not interested in giving us the leftovers. Do you ever have to go into a restaurant? Maybe they put the plate on your table. It's cold, or it's maybe stale. You have to kindly ask the waiter or the waitress, ma'am, sir, this is cold. This is stale. I want it fresh. Can you bring me a new plate? I'll never forget going with Pastor Broyhill last year near Chicago, and I had my first ever taste of deep dish Chicago-style pizza. I can taste it right now. I love a meat lover's pizza, Philly and all the veggie lover's pizza. I'm talking a meat lover's pizza. And this pastor that hosted us that week, he had to call a half hour before we even got to the restaurant so they could prepare it before we were getting there. I got a picture on my phone if you want to see it. And that pizza there, it was the steam was coming off the pizza. Man, it was fresh. Boy, it was good. I'll tell you what, folks. That was probably the best bread Elijah ever tasted because God made it for him. It was fresh on the coals. God, again, provided for Elijah. And then there was the cruise of water. There is nothing like a cool cup of water on a hot day, especially for Elijah after traveling all day. For the entire day, he was running for his life, and yet again, God provided for Elijah. He put the cruse of water there at his head. And God is proving once again that he will take care of his children. God will always provide. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I remember what the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. He is faithful, and he will provide for you. Back in May, Pastor and our staff, we met with the deacons of our church, and we were praying about how to safely reopen our church back before Mother's Day in May. And at the end of that meeting, Pastor asked Brother Don Fellows to close in prayer. And as Brother Fellows prayed, he quoted a verse of Scripture. It's one that I've heard before, one that I had memorized, one that I've put to memory, but I'd never thought about it in this way. It was Psalm 32 in verse 8. I encourage you to write it down. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I'd never really thought of it that way before, but folks, God literally has his eyes of guidance upon his people, the Calvary Baptist Church. He is instructing us in the way we should go, and he is literally guiding us with his eye. That should comfort us tonight, folks. If God is watching us, we can rest assured that we will be just fine and we'll be okay. If God is leading you to do something for him, don't be so concerned about if you will have enough. With Jesus, you'll always have enough. With Jesus, you'll always have enough. I've probably heard Dr. Ron Comfort say this 100 times, but he always said in Bible college, he said, young people, God's biddings are his enablings. God's biddings are his enablings. If God tells you to do something, you can take it to the bank that he's going to enable you and give you every necessary provision to accomplish it. Like Job, you may lose everything, but if you have Jesus, that's all that you need. Back in 2007, my grandfather, my papa, he went home to be with the Lord. And I sure miss him a lot. My grandmom's turning 90 years old tomorrow. Happy birthday, grandmom. And we love her so much. But when my papa died, I had some time to go through his Bible. And I came across an underlined portion of Scripture in the book of Psalms. And you can tell that the underlines were not straight. They were kind of with a shaky hand, and You can tell that the verse was underlined when he was an older man, when he was well up in years. And here's the verse. It's Psalm chapter 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I have been young and now I'm old, is what David said. Yet, in those two portions of life, have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And no matter what your age is tonight, whether you're young or whether you're old or somewhere in the middle, we can agree with the psalmist and that would say that God has provided when he was young and provided when he was old. One thing has stayed consistent through all of this, and that is God. He's never changed, and maybe you are like Elijah, and you are a weary traveler on the journey tonight. Can I remind you that God, he will provide for you. And number three tonight, I'd like us to see God is always present. God is always present. Not only does he know your limits, not only will he provide for you, but God is always present. Let's look together at 1 Kings 19, and let's continue in verse number 7. Would you look there with me? The angel of the Lord came again the second time. Here comes this angel again a second time. Elijah had enjoyed his meal, enjoyed the shade, the rest, enjoyed the water. He comes to him a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. God sustained him with that for 40 days and 40 nights. Unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold," I'd like you to look at this next phrase. It's so encouraging. "And behold, the Lord passed by." Aren't you glad when the Lord passes by? "And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." And we'll stop there for now. After Elijah was able to get some physical nourishment and rest, he continued on his journey for 40 days and 40 nights. He went to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there Elijah learned another lesson. He learned that God was always present. He learned that he was with him every step of the way. You see, God is greater than the greatness of the journey. Oh, the journey might be great, but God is greater than that journey. In his commentary on 1 Kings, Pastor David Sorensen made this observation. It was very good. Elijah rehearsed how Israel had turned their backs on Jehovah God. As far as he was concerned, he was the only one left who was still serving Jehovah God. And on top of that, they were seen and trying to kill him, trying to end his life. Elijah was running from Ahab and Jezebel and was remembering their words, "They're going to kill me." But he had forgotten God's words. So in a time of discouragement, in a time when you're fearful, in a time when you're in the wilderness and down, what are God's words? I want to remind you tonight that Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jeremiah 17:7, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." Isaiah 41 verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 20, verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 46, 10. "God is our refuge and strength." Verse 1, excuse me. "A very present help in trouble." Isaiah 43, verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overthrow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And then in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. I just know God's been challenging me with this, but I'm speaking maybe to someone that's a weary traveler and you're discouraged and you're burdened. Can I encourage you tonight to rest in the promises of God that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm all alone, Brother Tom. I don't have anyone. You've got God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can find true rest in Jesus. Something that this world cannot give you is rest in Jesus Christ. His peace is perfect and his rest is perfect. At every twist and every turn of Elijah's journey, God was present and he was there. In verse 9, he says, the word of the Lord came to him. In verse 11, he says, behold, the Lord passed by. And just about everything we know and love has changed in 2020. We're live streaming tonight. But I'm telling you, there is one who has stayed consistent. And there is a Jehovah God who never changes. And by the way, he has not changed since last Tuesday. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, he's the same forever. Praise the Lord. Back when Elise was about 3 or 4 years old, she woke up in the middle of the night to a bad thunderstorm. It was raining and thundering outside, and she ran into me and Tiffany's room. She said, Mommy and Daddy, can I hop up in your bed and sleep in the middle of you? And Tiffany, being the good parent she is, she said, sure, honey. I would have said no, but she said sure. And during the next couple hours, during that thunderstorm, her eyes were wide open, and she clutched our hands real tight. But she stopped crying. No more tears. Because she was in the presence of her mommy and her daddy. The two people she trusted most, she had her hands in. And child of God, there is one who will never leave you or forsake you. In your storm and your discouragement, right in the middle of it all, there is Jesus. And God's always present. He's a present help in trouble. Right now, he's your present help in trouble. And number 4 tonight, I'd like us to see God is always speaking in his still small voice. God is always speaking in his still small voice. Let's pick up again in verse number 11 in our text of scripture tonight. Verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And we've come to the end of our text of scripture tonight. And God is trying to get Elijah's attention. And tonight we learn from God that he's trying to get our attention. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is tonight, are we really listening? God's always wanting to speak to us, but we're not always wanting to listen and willing to listen. See, we live in such a different world today. Even the world that my mom and dad grew up in, my grandparents lived in, maybe you lived in. Such a different world. Every 5 or 10 seconds, there's another ding or another beep or something to get our attention. Some noise or some sound or somebody talking. And we become so busy in our lives, and our lives have been so filled with distractions that we've completely left God out of everything that we do and what we're doing. You see, Elijah looked for God in the wind, but he wasn't in that wind. He looked for God in the earthquake, but he was not in the earthquake. Elijah looked for God in the fire, and certainly God would be in that fire, right? No, he was not in the fire. Now, we want God in the earthquake. We want God in the wind. We want God in the fire. We want the big. We want the powerful. We want what we can visualize, what we can see. And finally, God showed Elijah, and Elijah heard him. He heard him in the still small voice. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under his wings I can safely abide. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. How can the psalmist say it's good to have afflictions and trials and struggles? Why can he say that? It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Elijah found himself running from Ahab and Jezebel, and in turn found himself listening to the still small voice of God. God brought him through the wind. God brought him through the earthquake. God brought him through the fire. And he heard the still small voice of God. Elijah was self-dependent. He had become self-centered. It was all about Elijah. And when we as believers can become completely God-dependent, that is when we can have true access to his power. And I believe that God put him through all of these circumstances in order to get Elijah quiet, to get Elijah to hush, to get Elijah to be still. He said, "This isn't about you, Elijah. This is about me. This is about me." Last week, we purchased as a family a fire pit to put into our back home. And about every night, we've been out there roasting s'mores and having fun, and it's been great. And last Saturday night, my wife finally put her kids to bed, and we went back outside and sat in the chairs and enjoyed the fellowship and the talking. It was dark. It was dark outside. And there was the moon. There was the stars. And it was so quiet. It was so peaceful. And as I looked, and I remember taking a breath and being just like, wow. It was a reminder to me how good the Lord is. And what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God." And we live in a chaotic and a noisy society, don't we? But it's our job to be still and let the master do his work. God wants to get us still enough and be quiet enough to remember that God values and craves genuine fellowship with his children. And he's still speaking in that still small voice. Can I ask you tonight, are you listening? Are you listening to his still small voice? We have too much stuff crowding us out and crowding him out. In the closing portion of this chapter, God reminds Elijah that there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah, you're not alone, sir. Elijah, he says, you're going to go back to Damascus. You're going to go back to the place where you started. But as you go back to Damascus, Elijah, I will be with thee. And then Elijah comes to the end of his life in 2 Kings chapter 2. And God took him up to be with him. God took him up in that chariot of fire. And friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going up too. We're going up. I heard a preacher say recently, when we get to heaven, we're not going to sit around talking about how hard the journey was for all of us. We're going to be sitting around talking about the one who helped us get through the journey. And the same God that was with Elijah is the same God that is with you and I at this very moment. About 10 years ago, there was a family, and the Collingsworth family. And they go around singing in churches in different locations, singing for the Lord, and they still do. But about 10 years ago, they were on a cruise ship, and in the middle of the night, it was an awful storm. And the wife, Mrs. Collingsworth, was awake looking out the window, and the cruise ship was literally rocking back and forth, the thunder and the lightning. It was scary. And all of a sudden, their 12-year-old little girl, their daughter, popped herself up out of the top bunk of their bed, rubbed her eyes, said, "Mommy, what's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay?" And Mrs. Collingsworth said, "Honey, I'm scared. I'm frightened of what's going on. I'm so scared of what might happen. There's the cruise ship rocking back and forth, and there's so much waves crashing and thunder and lightning." And the 12-year-old little girl said, Oh, Mom, don't be scared. Aren't you glad the captain knows what he's doing?" And the captain knows what he's doing. And with that, she went right back to her pillow and fell right back asleep. Dear child of God, you can rest assured tonight that the captain of the old ship of Zion knows exactly what he is doing. He is our pilot tonight, and we can trust his word and his promise that when the journey is too great for us, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I'm glad that my captain knows what he's doing. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Are you running on empty tonight? Are you empty? God is greater, and the captain knows what he's doing. God knows your limits. God will always provide. God is always present. He's always speaking in the still small voice. The journey is too great for us, but it is not too great for our Jehovah God. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And God is greater than the greatness of the journey. Let's pray together.